Mr. Morecambe had given him 2 opera tickets as a reward for sorting out a particularly problematical tort. He'd invited his mother because she represented 100% of all the women he knew. People tended to shake Henry's hand cautiously in case it came off. He'd bought a book about the opera and read it, carefully, because he'd heard that it was absolutely unheard of to go to an opera without knowing what it was about, and the chance of finding out while you were actually watching it was remote. The book's reassuring weight was in his pocket right now. All he needed to complete the evening was a less embarrassing parent.
"Can we get some peanuts before we go in?" said his mother. "Mother, they don't sell peanuts at the opera." "No peanuts? What are you supposed to do if you don't like the songs?"
Grebo's suspicious eyes were 2 glows in the gloom.
"Poke him with a broom handle," suggested Granny.
"No," said Nanny. "With someone like Grebo, you have to use a little bit of kindness."
Granny closed her eyes and waved a hand. There was a yowl from under the kitchen's dresser and a sound of frantic scrabbling. Then his claws scoring tracks in the floor, Grebo came out backwards, fighting all the way.
"Mind you, a lot of cruelty does the trick as well," Nanny conceded. "You've never been much of a cat person, have you, Esme?"
Grebo would have hissed at Granny, except that even his cat brain was just bright enough to realise this was not the best move he could make.
"Give him his fish eggs," Granny said. "He might as well have them now as later."
Grebo inspected the dish. "Oh, this was all right then. They wanted to give him food." Granny nodded at Nanny Ogg. They held out their hands palm up. Grebo was halfway through the caviar when he felt it happening. He wailed, and then the voice went deeper as his chest expanded and rose physically as his back legs lengthened under him. His ears flattened against his head and then crept down his sides.
"The jacket's a 44-inch chest," said Nanny.
Granny nodded. His face flattened. His whiskers spread out. Grebo's nose developed a life of its own.
"Shit."
"He certainly gets the hang of it quicker these days," said Nanny.
"You put some clothes on right now, my lad," said Granny, who had shut her eyes.
Not that this made much difference, she had to admit later. Grebo, fully clothed, still managed to communicate the nakedness beneath. The insouciant moustache, the long sideburns and the tousled black hair, combined with the well-developed muscles to give the impression of the more louche kind of buccaneer or a romantic poet who'd given up on the opium and tried red meat instead. He had a scar running across his face and a black patch now where it crossed the eye. When he smiled, he exuded an easy air of undistilled, excitingly dangerous lasciviousness. He could swagger while asleep. Grebo could, in fact, commit sexual harassment simply by sitting very quietly in the next room. Except as far as the witches were concerned. To Granny, a cat was a damn cat, whatever shape it was, and Nanny Ogg always thought of him as Mr. Fluffy. She adjusted the bow tie and stood back critically.
"What do you think?" she said.
"He looks like an assassin, but he'll do," said Granny.
"Oh, what a nasty thing to say."
Grebo waved his arms experimentally and fumbled with the ebony cane. Fingers took a bit of getting used to, but cat reflexes learned fast. Nanny waved a finger playfully under his nose. He took a half-hearted swipe at it.
"Now you just stay with Granny and do what she tells you like a good boy," she said.
"Yes, Nanny," said Grebo reluctantly. He managed to grip the stick properly.
"And no fighting." "No, Nanny." "And no leaving bits of people on the doormat." "No, Nanny."
"We'll have no trouble like we did with those robbers last month."
"No, Nanny."
He looked depressed. Humans had no fun. Incredible complications surrounded the most basic activities. "And no turning back into a cat again."